Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, the coach discusses with us the exciting victory over North Central and what he's expecting against Whitewater this week. He talks to us about the growth of his freshman players over the season. And the coach tells us what he's praising the Lord about. So let's join Quick Slants.
So let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Let's see. We missed last week's team updates, but I don't have any more. You know, we're doing good, you know, health-wise and everything else. So we're jacked about, what's going on. And, you know, there's kind of a mental and physical health thing right now to where we want to, you know, just stay as sharp as we can and get on to what's next. So.
Well, let's talk about last week's game. Very tight game to the first three quarters. Kind of turned into a little bit of a wild affair in the fourth quarter, finishing 27-24. Your thoughts on the contest?
No, it was a great football game. Two of the better teams in the country. And, we just had 3 weeks in a row of kind of epic battles. The Orford game was, we played about as good as we could, but our defense is playing really well. We played against a guy who's a two-time player of the year in the Iowa League, and there's just not a, I can't say enough about our front and our cover guys and all those things. You know, offensively took care of business, same thing. And then last week, North Central is just a terrific team, loaded all over the place and really dangerous. Their quarterback was 75% completion percentage and going into the game, and he led the country in that. So we knew we had something to handle. He was 12 for 27 in the game, and that was big. But the third quarter was probably the story of the game, where we had an 8.5-minute scoring drive that gave us a lead. Then they had the ball for only three plays, punted, and then we had a 7-minute scoring drive, and so in the whole third quarter they had three plays, and that's where a defense being exposed that long, no matter how good you are, it's tough to handle. So they hung in there tough, and then they just got firepower to come back, and then we had some more, and so we kind of tried to keep it at that 10 points, and then at the end to leave them down on the 10-yard line, and then we were able to take a knee in there 10 a few times was a great feeling.
Let's talk about those two drives for a moment. Almost 16 minutes that you burn off of the clock. I'm wondering not only what's the impact on your team psychologically, but how you feel that impacts your opponent when you're able to hang on to the ball for that long.
Well, I just think it drives a team that's a prolific offense like North Central. They had been scoring in the 40s and 50s, week in and week out, and then to not have the ball and not even have a chance. What happens is when they get it back, they're under some pressure, and they made a couple plays that we were a little irritated with. At the same time, they're pretty stinking good, and so we're trying to get things going and just do those things. But I think you're right. It's a huge psychological, you can kind of panic because you never have the ball and you just need, you need first downs. I think it's an underrated statistic in football. To get some first downs, you've got the ball. They don't have it. You're wearing them down a little bit. And so, defensively, it tires you out a little bit, and you're kind of hanging on for dear life, and you might start taking chances. And offensively, you're frustrated, and you get a little bit like you got to score, faster than you really do. So it's a big deal.
While the defense has been incredibly impressive for you, especially here in the playoffs, your defensive line play, I'm sure you would admit, has just been outstanding. How is it that they've been able to dominate the line of scrimmage so well?
I just think that, they're sold out to what we're doing. They've all done incredible work in the off season, to get ready. They're relentless. They care about each other. They care about what they're doing, and it is, you know, it's just there's a mentality, and, you know, there's a lot of good gifts up there, and they're, you know, one guy's making the other guy better, and you know, Pelino's coming out of his head, but Munson's ridiculous, too, Demick, and Sumstead, Sapphire, and so there's quite a few players that are, you know, doing their deal, and when they're in, they're just flying, and we're flying as a football, and then our linebackers, you know, just make those guys even better with Dallas and Ragsdale and Peach. So that whole front group is just crazy. And both sides of the ball, our front line is probably underrated.
I want to ask about one play in particular in the game. It's 27-17. Kyle Kilgore makes a sack and is able to strip the ball away. A player on your team has the opportunity to recover the ball, but it kind of squirts away from him. They recover and score a touchdown. What do you say to your player at that point to ensure that he's not thinking back and stays focused on what's ahead?
What do you mean? What do you say to me? I try not to throw up. You know, a lot of things go through your mind, and you got to speak truth to yourself. But there's so many times, even in our own experience, and even in teams that you love, where, you know, you get that interception that you drop, and if you get it, the game's over, and they end up winning and stuff like that. And so, it's a tough deal. And you know, we don't really have to say anything to each other as much as we just remind each other who we are all the time. You know, we're in the midst of that right now. We got a tall task coming up, and you know, we can't shrink and be happy with where we're at, you know, although, you know, you could do that. And you just got to get up and you got to go. And we just got a thing going right now where, you know, set your face like flint. Don't miss the game because you're worried about a mistake that you made. And don't miss the game because you did something good or you're worried about stats or you're worried about even losing. You got to stay in the moment. So it's really it's a what's next deal. And as Trent Sumstead, who's just had an amazing year for us, and he feels as bad as anybody. But it's you can't have it back. So it's illogical to you know, dwell on that and stay on it at all. But we know that it's natural. So we address it. We talk about it all the time. And, you know, that verse in Isaiah that talks about, you know, I gave you my back to be whipped, and I gave you my face so you pluck my beard, and I let you say all that stuff and spit on me. And what I did in response is to set my face like flint and get to the next deal. And that's what we do, and we want to do that every play. And that stinking takes practice because it isn't easy.
You take on the number 4 team in the country this week. Your thoughts on Wisconsin Whitewater?
They're big and they're good and they're fast and they just wear people out. And they, you know, they've got a lot of toughness that is good. And so what we want to do with them is, we just need to play our football. You know, we can just read all kinds of articles and stuff like that. You watch them on film and, you know, they had a much better game than their score a lot of times, and the reason for that is I think they wore people out, just like we were talking about our offense and going on those long drives. You know, I don't care how good you are, you get worn down, and you know, it's not like somebody's not doing their job anymore. I think they just kind of wear you down.
I would wonder, how much of an advantage is it, do you think, that you face teams like St. Thomas and St. John's when you go up against Whitewater?
You know, hopefully that is a good thing. You know, I mean, I think that we talked about that the other day. I think Whitewater, they haven't had to make very many calls that were, you know, those ones where your stomach's grinding, you're not too sure. You know, I mean, they kind of everything works, and you know, part of it's that they're so good, and part of it's that they, you know, had such a high seed that they haven't had the same deal as us. And I think that when people count us out, that's kind of what they point to, is that they're that dominating. And then when people think that, you know, I mean, there's got to be a confidence in our kids, you know, and I'm not saying it's for sure though, but there's got to be a confidence in our kids that they know that they can, you know, if we can play well against the Tommies and Johnnies and Wartburg and in North Central, that you know, that this game is just, it's another football game that we need to be Bethel.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We start out with Bill, who says, Coach, the team looked like they were really struggling in the first half, but you had so much more success offensively in the second. What adjustments did you make at half to turn things around?
I think you're talking offensively, because I don't know if, you know, we're playing the fifth-ranked team in the country, and it's 10-7. I don't think that would be real different. And we had a touchdown called back, one touchdown run called back, and another a long run called back. I've heard that a couple times. I don't know that we were feeling like we weren't okay in the first half, because the game isn't, you know, sometimes when you, we've probably been starting fast lately, and this time maybe we, as far as the score is concerned, maybe this time it was a little slower, but the adjustments that we made at the half were very small and very slight, but we did know that North Central was borrowing their safeties to help with the run, and so we kind of kept running and had them do that, and then we were able to flip the ball over their head when they committed to the running game. And so it's just they are adjustments to, we didn't get out of anything that's based to what we do all the time, but we, you know, you kind of gotta, especially when you don't see teams. Like, we've never, you know, we only played them one time, and that was a few years ago. You know, in our league, we kind of know a little bit more what to expect all the time. There's a little bit of, you know, kind of feeling the other team out a little bit, so that happens. So, I guess, you know, some of the adjustments were plays that we thought we had in our pocket, and we wanted to make sure that we called them at the opportune time in the right situation so that we get the triggers that we needed, so. That was the important part, and that's offensively. Defensively, you're kind of just doing the same things. How do we attack their, protections, and, you know, how do we handle run setups?
Tad would like to know. He says, I know NFL coaches will say that by week 14, a rookie is no longer a rookie anymore. Do you have that same kind of thing, that by a certain week, a freshman has enough experience that you don't expect them to make freshman mistakes anymore, where you feel they have grown beyond being a first-year player?
Yeah, that's a great point. We do. I do feel that way. And, you know, we don't really want to, you know, shove that down the kid's throat or something. Like, there's got to be, by this time, I think we notice it more than talk about it, but I think it's a good point. It's really a true thing when a kid gets, you know, I think it takes a long time, not only camp, but then a few, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And sometimes, you know, a whole season for somebody to be really, get understanding the system. And that's why seniors are so great to have, because they, you know, there's so much of their stuff that they don't even think about it. It's just boom, you know. So, but I really think that's a big deal that, you know, by game 13 or whatever we're on, 14, that, you know, freshmen aren't freshmen anymore, and that's exciting.
Speaking of seniors, Rick would like to know, how much advantage do you think having such a senior-led team means for your defense?
I think it's huge on our defense. They're, you know, especially in our secondary, they're just, Brendan Whalen is just a bright guy who really helps make sure we're in the right places. Dawson is a terrific player. Subby, you know, back there, and Trey Anderson obviously is he is so good at that outside spot in the corner. So I think that's a huge advantage, and it's a great thing for our young guys too, to learn under those guys.
Ethan says, it looks like the team has played their best football over the last 5 weeks. Would you agree they are peaking at the right time?
Yep.
I'm with you on that one.
I think from Concordia, I don't know when the weeks are, because everything's a blur right now, but from Concordia on, pretty good football.
Wes would like to know, in big games like this, are you a coach who likes to have your defense on the field first to try to give your offense a chance to settle into the game, or do you want to give your team the ball right off?
That's a good question, too. Neither one. We love to defer. But we don't care. We don't really want to care either way, because you can't really control the flip of the coin. But what we do like is, you know, I would probably rather have our defense out first because we like getting the ball in the second half, if that makes any sense. So it's not about the beginning of the game. It's more about we like to have the ball going in the second half because you just know so much more about the game. And, you know, if you end it half poorly and then you got to kick off, that's a little tough. And if you ended it well in your receiving, that's kind of nice to keep it rolling. You know what I mean? So we're more into deferring and not really caring about what's at the beginning. If the other team prefers something, that's fine.
Next up is Amanda, who says, you talked about the award that Kyle Kilgore earned. That is like the sixth or seventh year in a row that a Bethel guy has won that. Is your expectation that players would be involved in the community like this, or do they just do this on their own?
They do that on their own. I've come to expect it, but not because of something I've said. I've come to expect it because it keeps happening. Every one of them, seriously. When our sports information guy or somebody talks to him about it, they say, well, I don't really do that much. And the next thing you know, you find out that they were involved in a whole lot of things. So that's an award that's really kind of blessed me and our program, because it really is, it's really kind of cool that we don't try for that. And it wouldn't be as meaningful, in my opinion, if we did. And some people might say we did because we got so many in a row, but we have really met. We don't ever even talk about that. We just talk about being the kind of man that you want to be.
Terry says, Coach, love your sayings. Don't really understand set your face like Flint. Would you explain that, please?
I think I did earlier in this call, and that's a good one. But it, Isaiah 50. Look up Isaiah 50, and it talks about, I gave you my back to beat, and I didn't do anything about it, and I gave you my face to pluck my hair out, and I let you spit on me and call me stuff. And in the reaction, I just set my face like Flint. And Flint is a hard rock thing, and when steel hits it, it starts a fire. And that's, we talk about that a lot in our deal, baby, is like, no matter if something good or bad just happened, we got to get to what's next and set your face like Flint. And when something hits you in the face, it's going to start a fire, and we're going to go. So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Pat says, what keeps a team like Whitewater so good at this level? Is it solely academics or location? Why are some teams always good?
That's a good question. I think there's a tradition. There's a million things. I know that there's so many, there's so many things about people that are analyzing things, and that's the fun of it. But there's a little danger in, like a great running back. Oh, it's because he's fast, or it's because he's got vision. It's about 85 things. And so I think that Whitewater has a huge commitment to the resources that they put into football. They've got a huge backing in that way. They've got, I don't know, it's not like, I think their coaches have something to do with it. Sometimes people think, oh, it's because they have great facilities, and then they find out they don't really have great facilities. You know what I mean? I think that there's the combination of things that make you good in it, but it's something that the school is at one point at least deemed important.
Tom would like to know, what kind of chance do you give St. John's against Mary Hardin Baylor?
I'd never count the Johnnies out because they're not a normal group. They are just they're hard to play. They, if everybody goes left and right, they go north and south, And I think that Mary Hardin Baylor is ridiculous athletically and speed wise, and I think that they're a terrific football team and program, and so athletically they might outshine the Johnnies, although the Johnnies are great too athletically, but the Johnnies play a brand of football and play with confidence that is it's hard to explain and hard to bottle, but it's impressive, and so I do. I give them I don't bet, and I don't know what, chances are, but, at this stage of the game, when there's eight teams left, if I got 50-50, I'm happy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, sometimes expectations get in the way, you know. So.
And what are we praising the Lord about?
We expect to play really good.
And what are we praise? What are we praising the Lord about this week, Coach?
We praise the Lord that we're healthy and we're in this mix, and we get to be together all these extra weeks and in this neat way. We feel really blessed about winning, playing well, and the tightness of our group is palpable, and it's a joy to be together, and we're kind of riding this deal, and we know that there's more to life than football, but right now we're immersed in some pretty cool stuff, and we're not really into the accolades, but we don't mind them. So it's just kind of a joyful time, and at the same time, man, we're tired, because it's a grind, and that's, if you don't like the grind about football, then you won't last, or there'll be no joy. So we're choosing joy over tired, and we're choosing each other over other stuff, and I think that's a good thing to practice.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. See you, buddy. Love you.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.